those fluid chameleons of culture, celebrities. Many entertainers and politicians are busy echoing the style of other famous people. New photos of Lance Bass in a gothic Adam Lambert look. Lady Gaga talking a little bit like Madonna while looking a lot like Michael Jackson on Larry King Live, and comedian Kathy Griffin as Betty Page. Being a celebrity, other than your own celebrity, is all the rage.
Meanwhile, here in Illinois, Republican State Representative Mark Kirk may be impersonating a straight man. Blogger Mike Rogers outed the man chasing after Senator Obama's former seat as a hypocrite that votes against gay rights while secretly being gay himself.
Join us as we talk with political blogger Phil Reese about the impact the outing of Mark Kirk will have on gay rights, and why the wives of conservative politicians are falling all over themselves to woo gay support.
Plus all the hot news and trends. A new book features the internet's most hilarious web addresses.
To celebrate Father's Day, People Magazine en Español features Ricky Martin and his cute baby boys.
Mopey teenagers dress up as werewolves.
And which celebrity do you think has had the greatest impact on our lives in the past 50 years? I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Rama, rumama, rama, rum. That got your attention, didn't it? You thought Lady Gaga was on today's Feast of Fun. Not yet, but she was on Larry King Live. Mm-hmm. Last name King.
The King and the Lady.
The King and the Lady. It was fantastic to see the two generations of fabulousness interacting with each other via satellite with awkward pauses.
Yeah, it was like...
Or in this case, it was gagasses.
Gagasses. I would love to have... Yeah, it was weird, the pause, because you were like, can't they just speed this up a little bit? But again, it was live, and she was in another place. Why didn't she just come to the studio? I wonder why.
Because I think she's working a lot, and the energy that I got from hearing Lady Gaga interacting with Larry King is that when Larry King looks like the one that's animated and alive... You're overworked and you're a little tired.
She needs to take a little break. And then she was wearing those funny glasses that were all crooked on her face.
I thought she was trying to channel a little bit of Michael Jackson in there.
Was that it?
Yeah. It was interesting that she actually admitted and talked about that she was going to be opening for Michael Jackson's comeback tour and also collaborating with him on stage. So... I felt like she was really channeling him. Lady Gaga, Stephanie, if you're listening to this, don't channel him too much. Stay off the propofol.
Stay away from the propofol. Well, you know, the thing about those glasses, though, too, that's what happens to my glasses when I fall asleep on the couch. You know, because they get, you know, you fall asleep with your glasses on because you're watching TV, and the next thing you know, you wake up and your glasses are all over the place. So maybe she was sleeping
on
the couch.
It's a no-win situation when you wear glasses in front of the public, the harsh glare of the public eye. Because I have, probably most people actually, our ears aren't exactly parallel to each other. And my ears are actually about half a centimeter, one's higher than the other. And so whenever I wear glasses or sunglasses in front of a camera, I look completely ridiculous.
Really? They look, because your glasses don't look crooked now.
Well, it's because I'm kind of adjusting my body to...
Oh.
But look, see? I mean, these glasses have been like...
Tortured.
They're been worked by the scientists at Anison to make me look normal. But actually, it is kind of hard. And you know, when you're actually sitting in front of bright lights for an interview, what a lot of people don't realize is the reason that Yoko Ono and a lot of these celebrities that do a lot of interviews... is that they prefer wearing the sunglasses because the lights are so harsh, and it's better than squinting at the camera.
Yeah, because you get really squinty when you're in front of, especially you're on stage and those lights are coming at you. You're like, it's blinding.
But, you know, it beats falling off stage like, you know, Steve Tyler from Aerosmith.
Is that what happened? Because he was blinded by the lights?
Well, you know, you're a little intoxicated. You're a little long in the tooth. You're a little wearing your sunglasses and you're going, loving an elevator. And you fall off that shaft off the stage. So, you know, more power to Lady Gaga and all the people who managed to make all their creative and other ends meet, you know. So that was fantastic. But it seems like today's like a theme of imposters and imitators, because As much as everybody loves Lady Gaga, and it's impossible to not like her, she's extremely appealing. The one criticism everyone makes of her, from Grace Jones to other, even people who claim to like her.
Oh, yeah. Like people that love her.
La Cocha, who hopefully will be on the show in a couple of weeks. Perez Hilton's understudy.
Watch fantastic those stairs,
video
Perez.
Blogger. I know.
Just kidding.
But she criticizes her, and a lot of people criticize Lady Gaga for being an imposter
imitating people's style. But listen, there's only so much style out there to be had.
So you think it's okay?
I think it's okay. Listen,
because you don't like it when you get imitated. When this show gets copied by other people, then you get, I know from our experience that we're like, argh. But you know, impersonate the best is what I say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pick from the best. And what? She works with the best designers and works with a lot of fantastic musicians. So, you know, what are you going to do?
It is the House of Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today, Dustin Lance Bass. I was going to call every famous gay man that's Dustin. Blonde that lives in California, Dustin Lance Bass.
Okay.
Also better known as Lance Bass, the former singer of NSYNC, who came out as gay when he was dating Ryken Limecool.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a photo shoot with our friend Mike Reese. And I guess he was channeling or trying to imitate Adam Lambert.
You say Adam Lambert, and I say, okay, and the masculine photos kind of maybe the Adam Lambert look, but there was that one photo, it was full on tranny. I mean, it was like he was channeling woman there.
So people are like, it really got a lot of traffic, and immediately, like, because everyone's like, I gotta see Dustin Lance Bass's imitation of Adam Lambert.
And do you think it was intentional? Has he made a statement on it? Has he said, I'm trying to look like Dustin Lance Black?
I think
now you've got me all confused on my gaze.
Dustin
Adam Lambert.
Lance Bass. It's confusing, isn't it? Okay, no.
Once you get it in your head, you'll be stuck with it.
I'm not sure if it was Perez Hilton, was it Mike Reese saying it somewhere, but it's inevitable, the comparison.
Okay.
And just to sort of like give context to these photos, Mike Reese loves to get celebrities to juxtapose them against other people. Most famously recently is Kathy Griffin with Betty Page.
Yes, doing like a Betty Page kind of look.
So
he's just like, we're going to change you up a little bit. Because what does Lance Bass look like? He looks like that blonde, you know, male bimbo kind of look.
And
so
I like
now
that
he's
look.
Trying that darker goth.
His name is Lance Bass.
Yes,
Lance. Not Dustin Lance Bass.
I said Lance Bass last time.
I'm confused too. I just don't know which way it's going. Just yet, did he win an Oscar for something?
No, he didn't win.
Grammy?
Probably, I bet you they have a Grammy between all of them. They probably shared a Grammy.
Is it possible to fuse awards together?
You can do anything.
Believe.
That movie Centipede.
And holy multi. It'd be nice to fuse a People's Choice Podcast Award, which we have four of them. We could spare
that could
one.
Melt easily, right? Does acrylic melt?
You could do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Make some sort of get yourself a Grammy, an Oscar, and an American Music Award, which is a glass pyramid. And
call it a Tower of Terror.
And combine them into some unholy hybrid.
It looked like Sue Sylvester's award for winning the Nationals for the Cheerios on Glee.
So Glee's got Sue Sylvester, Jane Lynch back on it.
Yeah.
Did you like it? Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. It was a little preposterous, of course. The whole episode was a little preposterous, where Sue Sylvester was supposed to fall hard for Mr. Shu, the Glee coach. And she does, and then he breaks her heart. It seemed kind of ridiculous.
And I know that Jane Lynch is a full, stone-cold lesbian.
I think she just got married.
Yeah, and the Mr. Shu doesn't strike me as the epitome of heterosexuality.
He claims he's straight. The actors will play that.
Okay, well then, butch it up a little, maybe. I don't know. It was like John Travolta and Lily Tomlin in Moment by Moment.
Oh my God!
Google that one.
What movie? That's from like the 70s, isn't it?
John Travolta and Lily Tomlin in the 1970s were romantic opposites. And there's a infamous scene where they make out in a hot tub. You put that together.
Oh my God.
Remember, people, there are some things, once you see them, you can't unsee them.
Like Centipede.
I don't even want to look at that. So what's going on with, Illinois Representative and Republican Mark Kirk?
Mark Kirk, well, the rumors that he's been gay for years have been around. And they even had some wackadoodle Republican. He was ultra-right wing. He was trying to out him several months ago. But everybody just poo-pooed him because this guy's really, really cuckoo. Well, Mark Kirk last week, or was it the week before, he voted in favor of keeping Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So he voted no on removing it.
Because right now, the steam engine, the train towards liberty and justice and equality for all when it comes to dying for your country at minimum wage, you know, salute all the fabulous people that serve our country thanklessly. Now you can, you know, the day will come, and that day might come very soon, like before the end of the year, where people can openly serve as gay and lesbian, trans, bi people in the military.
So he voted no against it. And, you know, that ticked off Mike Rogers. Mike Rogers, he's been on our show a couple of times, and he writes a blog called Blog Active. He also is the editor of Page 1Q, both great news resources. But he's probably most famous for outing Larry Craig, and he was also the subject of the HBO documentary Outrage, where he outed closeted Republicans, not solely because they were gay, but because that they were hypocrites and that they would fight against gay rights. So that's the two things. You have to be closeted gay, and you have to actively fight against gay rights. If you're just kind of like moderate, you know, you don't really make much of a difference, or if you're very supportive of gay rights, then, you know, he's not going to out you. And so when Mark Kirk said no to getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Mike said, well, it's time. So he, you know, uncovered a few homos from some rocks and he asked them about their relationships with Mark Kirk, and they were both able to describe what kind of sexual relationship they did have with him, and they both were able to describe his penis.
So it was like Michael Jackson's
trial
back in the 90s.
Yeah, he was able to describe his penis. And also, too, you know, Mike Rogers had even met Mark Kirk himself back in 2004. And he was introduced to Mark Kirk by a mutual friend. He was by a stranger to Mark Kirk, I guess, because Mark Kirk asked Mike Rogers when the other person left the room, is that person single or is he taken? And when Mike Rogers told him he has a partner, Mark Kirk goes, oh, that's too bad, or something along that lines, because he was interested in having, you know, getting to know him a little bit better.
I feel like there's more story to this dirt. Mm-hmm. It might be on a future episode of
Law and Order.
Law and Order, or maybe Desperate Housewives.
It does kind of sound definitely to Desperate. Sorry.
Keep talking.
He's going to dial the phone. So Desperate Housewives, yes.
Here we go. Well, okay. let's get our Washington insider, Phil Reese, to weigh in on all this stuff. Mr. Reese, you're on. Hello?
Hello?
Mr. Reese, you're paged... hi. I was going to do some joke here, but, you know, we've just been staying up late because we were watching Lady Gaga and watching Glee and sort of following up with all this stuff. It's been a busy day for Mark Kirk and all the political gay bloggers like you.
Oh, good grief, yes.
Well, you know, the article that you wrote on Feast of Fun was linked to on the Huffington Post. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's the traffic that came almost shut down our site.
Oh, no, not again.
So, yeah, I mean, but it is an honor because we love and respect the Huffington Post and all the fine quality journalism and blogging that happens there. And so when you get recognized by good people, it makes you feel good.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was great. I was really glad to see that.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on right now for Mark Kirk is the whole, you know, revelation that he might have enjoyed the taste of the peen in the past going to impact his political career in any way?
Well, it really depends if that's all there is to the story or not. Mm-hmm. And we don't really know how that's going to play out. you know, Mike Rogers, who is the guy to go to out a politician, has a 100% record, and he usually doesn't fire unless he's got something good. But today there wasn't anything really conclusive on his blog, and we don't know if there's anything else that he's got. So I would say this isn't going to bubble up into the mainstream media unless, you know, Mike Rogers comes forward with more people or something like that. But I think it's still a big story, especially in LGBT politics, because really what it highlights is the fact that, you know, gay or not, LGBT people in Illinois need to watch Mark Kurt, because this is a little two-faced. He's enjoyed a very high rating from the HRC since he first ran in 1999. And that's because he ran on a platform that included supporting ENDA. And he didn't have to do that as a Republican, but he did. But he voted against the marriage amendment, you know, 5 years ago when it was up in Congress, and the constitutional marriage amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And he voted well there, but this was the first real big vote since then.
Well,
and he voted the wrong way.
Well, and you met with him, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Mike Rogers or Mike Kirk?
Mark Kirk.
I actually met with his staff, but I met with his wife as well.
And by staff, you meaning a group of people, not a euphemism for his penis?
No, we didn't meet in the Minneapolis airport.
Because I'm sure a couple of guys in the past have met with his staff. You know what I'm saying?
Well, tell us about your experience meeting with his ex-wife. Because she didn't want him to support Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
No, she does. She's a staunch, she's hardcore pro-gay rights. She's a long-term member of the Human Rights Campaign, who just actually, right after the vote, endorsed Alexi Genulius, which was a huge slap in the face for Mark Kern. Because he had...
Hold on a second. So Mark Kirk's ex-wife or current wife?
Ex-wife was working for him, even. Wasn't she like his press secretary or something?
I'm not sure. At some point she was. She's very tight with the office staff. But they're openly very much still very close friends. She fundraises for him. She's been on the campaign trail with him. So it's no secret they're still very close.
Right.
And... She showed up with HRC to the lobby day to lobby his office and several other offices in support of ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the military ban.
Can we just call it the military's ban on gay men and women? Right.
Yes, that's what we got right now, is a military ban on openly gay service members.
Now, what about transgendered service people or transsexual service people? So, like, if wearing like panties allows me to fight in the war, you know, because I'm sure there are a lot of military men that
Corporal,
you know,
Klinger did it for years on MASH.
That's true.
That was before.
I mean, you know, I don't want to laugh at someone's, you know, sexual identity, but I mean, ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell is not just for gay men and women; it's also for trans people too.
That's true. However, you can serve if you've transitioned.
Really?
If you've transitioned, you've had your T's and I's dotted, I guess. T's crossed, nice dotted, and you've had your birth certificate changed and stuff, you can serve. The ban is on gay and lesbian. Now, you have to wear military uniforms, so you wouldn't be allowed to dress in non-gender conforming garb, so if you haven't transition, you wouldn't be able to serve. But as far as I know, from what I've been told, and I'm no expert in the military, but from what I've been told, if you're you've transitioned, you can serve.
I think I've heard that too. So his wife his ex-wife stopped endorsing him and is now endorsing the opponent just only because of this.
No, HRC did.
Oh, okay.
She of course endorses him still. She's fundraised for him, but she was with us when we lobbied his office.
Mm-hmm.
And we lobbied his chief legislative aide to try and convince him to vote for the repeal. Then, and she's a member of HRC, and that's the thing. She's staunchly pro-gay. She's really strong supporter of the community,
mm-hmm.
and she's against Don't Ask, Don't Tell. She's a veteran as well. They were both in the Navy together. They actually met together in the Navy.
Well, no. Do you feel that that the Chicago and the Illinois Democratic Party has more luck than brains? Because, you know, right now, I mean, let's rewind the clock here. Barack Obama became our senator for the state of Illinois, luckily, because he ran mostly unopposed by a collection of Republican gaffes, one of them being Jerry Ryan's
Jack Ryan,
who, you know, so thanks to Seven of Nine from Star Trek, she not only saved the Star Trek franchise, but she saved this country from another 4 years of George W. Bush's policies. Because, you know, if it wasn't for her coming forward and saying that she had been humiliated by her husband in the divorce proceedings, that wouldn't have cost him the Senate campaign and started the ball rolling for Barack Obama becoming president of the United States.
Absolutely, it's true.
So in a lot of ways, the Democratic Party has more luck than brains, in some senses. Now, Alexei Giannoulis, who's running against Mark Kirk here for Barack Obama's seat, had problems because the bank that his family ran, that he was the actual, he was the loan manager, that he was the chief loan officer while the bank went under. And now he's the state of Illinois' treasurer. So he's not exactly the most competent financial person.
Yep. To be fair, the bank didn't go under while he was there, but he was in charge of making a lot of investments.
Consequence of his decisions? Right?
Certainly they're not. They won't say that.
They won't admit to it, but I mean, we can stand outside and observe that. I mean, let me put it this way. I'm glad that my home loan is not from his bank, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way as that. And there's a lot of people who are probably very troubled because of the Broadway Bank collapse. I think it's definitely an issue, and voters are going to be thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely
something
that's going to make people nervous.
Right. How big do you think this Mark Kirk being gay or not being gay? How big of an impact will this have on voters in Illinois?
Well, a bigger story that came out about Mark Kirk this week. Now, for me, that's a huge story.
Right.
With, you know, being outed by Mike Rogers, but that's sort of what I follow. A bigger story in the press, though, with Mark Kirk is that he made false claims, and actually I just checked his website, and it actually still makes the same false claims, which I'm really shocked about.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that he was named the Intelligence Officer of the Year during his combat service in Kosovo.
Mm-hmm.
His website on the issues page actually still says it, even though they've made corrections elsewhere. His unit was named given that intelligence award.
Mm-hmm.
He was not given it. And it's actually not his first time embellishing his record.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he served in Operation Iraqi Freedom, but he just served during. He said at one point, "I'm the only member of Congress who served in Operation Iraqi Freedom."
Mm.
But he never was in Iraq.
So you're saying he's a liar through and through.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. So do we want somebody who's a, you know, basically Herman Munster when it comes to finance? Or do we want a big fat liar in taking over Barack Obama's Senate seat? And really, like, you know, the person that gets into that Senate seat is more, you know, we're concerned about the future of healthcare reform and gay rights in this country, and also financial reform and ecological reform. So the person that takes that seat really needs to cooperate with the Obama administration. So I guess it makes sense that we would want Alexis Gianoulis to take that seat, even though he's a big boob.
Well, and you and I talked about that earlier. It's really comes down to the policies. And now Kirk is kind of progressive in some ways. He's pro-choice, and he's, you know, he says he supports Endo, although he hasn't had the chance to vote on it yet. We'll find out when the vote comes down if he's going to actually vote for a trans-inclusive ENDA, or if he's going to end up letting us down with the, like he did with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But when it comes to environment, you know, Alexis Gianoulis is for a lot of green industry coming, you know, infrastructure improvements to rail and stuff, and he's for healthcare, where Kirk voted against healthcare. Kirk voted against the stimulus package. Gianoulis is for a comprehensive immigration bill. So when it comes down to those issues, you know, as a progressive, I would have to say that Gianoulis' stated issues or stated positions on the issues are a lot more akin to what I believe in, even though Kirk is pro-choice and pro-ENDA. And definitely in the LGBT world, you know, Gianoulis is following behind one of the most pro-gay senators of all time, Roland Burris, who in his short time in the Senate has really stood out as one of the loudest voices for LGBT people in the Senate. And so Alexi's really been looking for LGBT support because the gay people of the state have been pleasantly surprised by Burris's.
Well, I think like with Burris, he has, you know, nothing to lose because he from the beginning he said, I'm not going to run for re-election because, you know, the person that appointed me, Blagojevich, is a crook, and I don't want to appear as though I'm some kind of crook.
Here's some comments from the website. A guy named Law Student, he said, while Gianoulis appears to be better for the gay community on the surface, he and his family have supported some of the sleaziest Chicagoans. Now, this is in a context of somebody who calls himself a conservative with lots of gay friends. I met some of the mobsters he's loaned money to. Knowing these awful people made me want to be a lawyer. Trust me when I say these people are extremely racist and homophobic. Michael Ismoes responded, we can respect Kirk's privacy when Kirk respects the privacy of every gay member of the military. Can't you see how dumb your argument is? Then Todd responds, gay Republicans are really scrambling now to change the goalposts. So now a man who sucks the penises of other men, pumps their anuses, and French kisses them is just experimenting. Give me a break. Next thing you know, they're going to claim Larry Craig was just stretching his neck in the toilet when another man's penis accidentally fell in and was massaged by his tongue.
Well, there's a few hilarious things that I could comment on. First of all, I have it from pretty good authority from the gay people in Gianoulis' campaign. Gianoulis is really just a young guy. He's of our generation, and he doesn't understand homophobia. You know, it's not the way he is. And so I do think he's sincere when it comes to LGBT rights. Is he going to be that champion that we have like Roland Burris? I don't know. We won't know until he's in the Senate. But we do know that he's sincere about really believing in equality.
Now, he is on Twitter. So you can follow him at Gianoulis, his Twitter handle.
And he is Greek. Those Greeks love their butt sex.
That's true. Socrates was a big fan.
So
The other comment I wanted to make about that, though, where he talked about, you know, it's just, oh, now we're going to excuse him. The reason why I sort of didn't really sign on and say, yes, Kirk is gay from this blog post is that these are kind of old stories. These are college friends, and you know, I'd like to see something a little bit more, little bit more recent and sustained, and not, you know, just evidence that maybe he's a three beer queer, you know, in a fraternity somewhere. If we're gonna say that everyone who experimented in college is gay, a lot of America's gay then.
But he obviously said to Mike Rogers, you know, this is just 6 years ago, so he's, you know, he's been out of college for a while now, saying, is that guy single or is he taken?
So. Well, okay, so let's moving on here, just before we let you go into that, to the destination dreamland. What's going on with all these wives of these conservative hate monger husbands, mostly Laura Bush and Cindy McCain, all of a sudden in this past year, trumpeting marriage equality, when in fact, when they actually had an opportunity to do something about it, they kept their mouth shut? Well, this is specifically Laura Bush. I'm reading on Facebook, you know, Gay Pride Month's just around the corner, and people in Dallas, Texas are trying to organize to get Laura Bush to be the grand marshal of their Gay Pride Parade. And I said, that would make me sick, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't go to that. I would boycott Pride if that happened. Now, good for her for you know, seeing the light and supporting equality. That's all fine and good, but I don't know if the listeners know, but I've been at this for 10 years, and I was in Michigan when the constitutional amendment banning marriage equality passed, and I was very active in the campaign to end it because I was, you know, I was a leader in my community, in the LGBT community where I was going to college. And we worked very hard, and the radio ads and the newspaper ads that were being used, not only in Michigan but in the 11 states that passed those amendments that night that her husband won re-election, used language that Laura Bush used when Gavin Newsom started giving out marriage licenses in San Francisco, used quotes from her and sound bites from her. The pro-constitutional amendment side used these sound bites to try and convince people to get on the side of the First Lady and the President and vote those gays back into the closet. The work she did in 2004 is damage that cannot be undone. It's going to take us 20, 30 years to undo a lot of those constitutional amendments that are a lot like what happened in California with Prop 8 and Maine with Question 1, but happened, you know, 4 years prior to that. What she did that year really hurt so many people across the country, and I don't want our community to have a goldfish memory and forget what she did. Now, in terms of the broader problem of, you know, these campaigns and these parties want to have it both ways, both on the Republican and Democratic side. They want to have it both ways. They want to get as many votes as possible, which, you know, that's understandable. If I was running for office, I'd want as many votes as possible, too. But the way they do it sometimes is shady. Even spouses often take more progressive stances on issues than the candidates because they can, they believe it will win people over to the side of voting for the candidate, even if the candidate hasn't taken the right stance on the issue. If their spouse has, people will support that candidate for the spouse, and we shouldn't do that. It happened with John Edwards and Elizabeth. Elizabeth went and was grand marshal at Pride and everything, while John was saying he doesn't believe in marriage equality. It happened with Hillary and Bill. Hillary says, you know, she supports civil union, and Bill Clinton comes out in favor of full marriage equality. So the problem is genderless, it's not specific to a party, but with things like Cindy McCain. McCain's in a really hard primary battle right now against J.D. Hayworth, who's extremely conservative. So McCain has had to pander to the right, and he's taking staunchly anti-gay positions. Now, this is a man whose campaign manager is openly gay. And this is a problem for me because this guy is selling out his community by working for McCain and encouraging campaign or encouraging McCain to campaign this way. But regardless, his, you know, he think the campaign thinks that if they send Cindy McCain out to go take the no hate picture at this in the same week that McCain says he's gonna do everything he can to stop Don't Ask, Don't Tell, even if it means he has to filibuster the defense authorization. This is trying to have it both ways, and we should not fall for it.
So don't fall for it. I think the other two, the motivation is behind Laura Bush and like Cindy McCain coming out in favor of pro-marriage is because, you know, they don't want to piss off their hairdresser because they're sitting in there in a chair and it's just like, oh, I'm sorry, I dropped bleach on your head. And then
do you think, it's a situation where these are women who are living lives of luxury, and so they a lot of their social life, their luxury life, meaning like their hairdressers, their massage therapists, their personal trainers, their friends, the country club that they go to, that's all tied to gay culture and gay acceptance?
Yeah, they're definitely more exposed. I'm not questioning their sincerity. I think that I do believe that Laura Bush believes this, and I believe that Cindy McCain believes this, but I also believe that John McCain believes this. And instead of standing up for what's right, I believe he is voting against his actual beliefs, because we know he used to be a lot more pro-gay in the past, and this moving to the right is pandering, and it's worse. It's worse than the people that actually believe that gays are going to hell and vote that way. When someone actually likes gays but then votes against them, or when someone's in the closet and votes against their community, for me that's a lot worse. So I don't like it that these campaigns want to have it both ways. So they say, oh, Cindy, you like gays. You want to go hang out with the gays, take pictures of the gays, and, you know, and have a good gay time while we have John over here pandering to the right. So you send out two messages. Then log cabin Republicans and go proud Republicans that are gay Republicans can feel a little bit better about supporting John McCain because, oh, his wife and his daughter are so pro-gay.
But they don't get to control anything, you know?
Exactly. They don't do the votes. The person you need to be focused on is the person doing the votes. Mm-hmm. And John McCain just is definitely an enemy of the community right now. And I would say that his campaign manager, who's an openly gay guy, is also an enemy of the
community. Should we say that?
Well, should we be withholding? Should we be withholding sex from this guy?
Who are you?
I have actually said. I do believe, and it might be controversial.
Phil, Mark, but, neither of you guys are not likely to be having sex with Mark Kirk or Larry Craig or George W. Bush.
But people in Arizona might be.
Well, I'm sure, you know.
No blowjobs for these people. No
anal. But you don't know. I mean, how many times have you hooked up with a guy and then afterwards he'd like, you looked over the corner and you saw his Rush Limbaugh autographed photo on his wall? It happens all the time.
Well,
sweetie, we got to get going. Thank you so much, Phil.
Sure.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but you give me long answers to these short questions. Phil, you've got to be, you're still blogging every Tuesday and Thursday on Feast
Thursday.
Of Fun, right?
Yep.
And so what's on Thursday coming?
I usually try and follow whatever's breaking. It's probably going to be more Don't Ask, Don't Tell stuff, or maybe talk about the Dan Choi Dignity Fast.
Has he eaten yet?
He's not eaten yet, and there's a lot of people who are concerned for his health, but we'll see how it goes. I'll probably blog about it.
Okay. Thank you, Phil.
One last thing.
What's that?
If you are in Arizona and you're a bartender or a trick, do not give drinks or sex his name is Busey, Mark Busey. John McCain's campaign manager. That's all I'm saying.
Mark Busey, you're blocked from this bar. Thank you so much, Phil.
That dude looks like a leather daddy, too.
What, he does?
Yeah, I've seen pictures of him. You like, you know he's into leather.
Well, you know, this is the thing about it. Is like, when I first heard about Mark Kirk, I had just read the headline, and immediately I thought, okay, this might be something from International Mr. Leather.
Mm-hmm.
Or just another Republican that decided he was going to fight against gay rights because it's part of his sexual construct. Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is brought to you by generous support of fantastic people like you. Thank you.
And today's show is also brought to you in part by Pride Fest Milwaukee. Join us this June 11th through the 13th at the nation's largest showcase of LGBT music and talent at Pride Fest in Milwaukee on the Summerfest grounds.
There's going to be over 150 acts, including Kathy Griffin, Patti LaBelle, Joan Rivers, Tattoo, Amanda.
The plane.
Fantasy Island. T-A-T-U, Amanda Lepore, Bruce Valanche, Jeffree Star, Snap, Robert Verdi, I have no idea what he sounds like, and a whole lot more, and Alf. Visit pridefest.com to book your hotel and tickets. Don't forget, it's the 11th through the 13th of June. That's just weekends away, mm-hmm. on the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Visit pridefest.com. We're going to be there. Will we see you there? I hope so.
Maybe there's something to all these gay Republicans who fetishize being in the closet.
I'm reading all these comments on our own website and Huffington Post and elsewhere on the internet, and everybody started pointing out, it's like, there's a lot of gay men who part of their thing that they do is to fuck it up for everybody else.
Because I don't know. They don't want people to discover what they do.
Well, and listen, these are a minority of a minority of a minority. You know, if you counted all the gay Republicans who are fighting against gay rights, it's under 10 people,
right?
You know, in the past 10 years that have come out publicly. And, you know, one thing you can also argue is the gay Republicans' mindset is keep your enemies closer. You know, and that this guy, Gary Busey, what's his name?
Mark Busey.
Is that you want to serve him a drink and you do want to give him a blowjob, because afterwards when he has that, you know, when he's happy, then you can, you know, persuade him to change his mind on a lot of things.
Mm.
You know, as they say, keep the crazy people close to you, because when they're far away is when they can do trouble.
I keep the crazy people away from now on. I've learned my lesson. If you're crazy, you're out.
Well, let's talk about crazy websites. So there's this guy who put out a book. His name, they called their website That by Andy Geldman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a collection of the web's funniest addresses, or as he likes to call it, slurls.
Because like URLs, but yes, like with a slur on there. So I'm going to give you a little test of some of things, and you have to tell me how it makes it dirty or crazy.
You're going to give me the normal pronunciation.
Yes, I'm going to give you the
normal. Intended.
With a normal pronunciation. So Mole Station Nursery.
Mole Station. Boy, it's really hard when you hear it.
Mole Station Nursery.
Mm-hmm. Molestation Nursery.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about...
That's a good one.
Penn Island.
Penis Island.
Oh, you got that one quickly.
I can see... I have that, you know, that kind of... what is it? The Da Vinci Code ability to scramble letters around. Mm-hmm. It's called also dyslexia.
How about... this is a bowling alley called Big Al's, and it says, I love Big Al's.
I love big... what? Say that again. You're mispronouncing owls or owls?
I love big owls. Big Al as an A, as an Albert.
Oh, I love big gals, right?
I love bi gals.
Oh, bi gals.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's pretty good. like a bisexual woman.
And then in the UK, they have a bedding supply company, and it's called La Drape.
La Rape.
Well, it's lad rape.
Lad rape.
Uh-huh. Because, you know, we don't use lad too much here in America.
Rape. It's funny when it's a unintended website, but it's not funny when it actually happens to people.
And they also found a fake website, too, because other people are kind of into it now, too. It's a Power Gen Italia.
Powered genitalia.
Yes, that's right.
You know, my sister's name, my sister's name is Talia.
Mm-hmm.
T-A-L-I-A. It's not Jewish. It's a misspelling of Thalia. Mm-hmm. My father was nervous when he typed my sister's birth certificate form. And so when they filed her birth certificate, they called her T-A-L-I-A. And my mother in her high from giving birth, she said, what a beautiful name.
I like it better without the H.
I like it better without the H, too. I like the Jewish spelling of Talia. But anyway, so she would tell people that her middle name was, or her first name, Talia's her middle name, and her first name was Jenna.
I feel like, oh, Jenna Talia Fairness. Okay, and then there's an art collective called Speed of Art.
Speed of Fart?
Mm-hmm.
Speedo Fart.
Speedo Fart.
Speedo Fart!
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's funny because it actually does happen.
Now, this one was kind of difficult, and it kind of got me. I was like, what is it? Okay, so it's a scrap metal company called American Scrap Metal.
American Crap Metal?
American's Crap Metal, yes. You did very good.
Listen, I'm just like Tom Hanks. I can play a genius with dyslexia easily if the script is in front of
brilliant,
me.
Brilliant,
brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. You know, it's a little too late for our ad, but we'll have to read it in the beginning of the show.
Okay.
So, you know, we're almost towards the end.
Oh, we are? Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. How did this show go?
Fun flies when you're talking about Trannylicious, mm-hmm. Dustin Lance Bass. It's a, you know, why separate them? Combine, they should date each other.
Do you think
that would be a good power?
Do you
Hollywood
want him to
couple?
Date him as a brunette or as a blonde?
As a brunette,
or should they both go to black to blondes? Should they both be blondes or should they both brunettes?
That would
or?
Really freak people out if they started dating each other and then went goth,
mm-hmm.
and then from being goth they went emo, and then from being emo they became werewolves.
Ooh.
So this is a new trend, and you heard it here first.
Mm-hmm.
You might have already heard about this, but teenagers across America, move over goth, move over emos. There's a new way to be miserable and teenager, and that is, what is this term called? The lichens?
Lichens?
Lichenophiles.
Mm-hmm.
And that is people, human beings, that say it's easier to pretend you're part animal than being all gay. Oh my God. So teenagers across the country in small towns or in places, you know, where you know, they have anguish for one reason or another are pretending that they are werewolves putting fangs in their teeth and tails. And they look really, really cute.
Well, because like vampires are so 2009.
I know.
And so now you have to be a werewolf because they're on the, what is it? It's not Team Edward. It's Team Jacob.
I'm always been Team Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And that, if you had any doubt which won the battle of the werewolves versus the vampires, it's the werewolves. Because nobody would be caught dead, or like undead in this case, pretending to be a vampire. Werewolves are where it's at, mm-hmm. right now in America's youth.
Mm-hmm. It's such a crazy trend. The weird thing about it, though, is that you're like, are people really doing this, or is this like a faux story? Because I only saw one news item.
No, I've been kind of following it on Facebook. There's like groups for it, and people like been asking me to talk about it, and I'm just like,
are they like furries that like live in a hot climate so they don't want to put on fur outfits?
I think it's the best of all worlds. You get fangs,
mm-hmm.
which fangs are always a lot of fun. Until you start trying to talk and
chew gum
or do anything.
So you don't talk, you don't know your answer.
You sound like a hillbilly because hillbillies, mm-hmm. the way the hillbillies talk is because their middle teeth are missing.
Mm.
And when you put fangs on, it's kind of like having your middle teeth missing because it lowers the baseline of your teeth. And so that's like, why in movies, people with fangs, they have to redub their lines.
Oh, they do it later?
Yeah, in real
life.
Why
do they do that with Star Trek? Because the Klingons always talk like this.
The Klingons
do dub
overdub
those again?
Oh, yeah.
But you can hear the prosthetics in their mouth.
You would make a good mate.
You would make a good mate.
But yeah, with their mouths and all that, all those Ferengis and Star Trek, they all had to overdub their lines.
Oh, I had no idea. That's
And happy Father's Day. It's coming around the corner.
And guess who's going to be on the front cover of People magazine en Español?
Ricky Martin, I'm sure.
Ricky Martin.
Martin.
Yes. And he's going to talk about coming out en Español. So we'll be able to pick that up, hopefully, at the Edgewater Produce in our neighborhood.
I can't wait to go to my Mexican grocery store and make all the girls giggle. Maybe like, is this the Ricky Martin en Español where he talks about being gay and being a father?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the editor for People en Español, and I actually read People en Inglés
mm-hmm.
and en Español the English version, and I prefer the people in Espanol. And now I know why.
Why?
Because its editor, who's been working there forever, is Armando Correa, who's an openly gay writer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do I know that name?
You don't know who that is.
I don't know who it is.
No.
Oh, I just know the last name Correa.
Correa. But, okay. You know, Correa means belt in English.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's a fetish. No, but actually, he's a really good writer, and he's really smart, and People in Espanol also has much more cutting-edge content mm-hmm. than the English version, you know? So they, like, have Walter Mercado, the Liberace of Puerto mm-hmm. Rico, talking about his sexuality, mm-hmm. which is unheard of.
Oh, well, he doesn't talk.
Never That's talks about since, it.
But, the thing about the people in Espanol, it's so, you see it, it's so hoochie mama.
It's they really know what they know their audience.
No,
you
they
know.
Do.
So,
well, do you want to do some stuff from Facebook?
Oh yeah, let's go to Facebook, honey.
Okay, so
because there's a lot of questions here.
People are talking about Lance Bass.
Yeah, what are they saying?
And the sunglasses that he looks like a tranny. He's the tranny edition. America's Next Top Model, a tranny edition.
That's Jim Nash.
Yes,
right?
And Dean Danielson asks, Lady Gaga's sunglasses were crooked on purpose. I don't know if they're crooked
just
on purpose.
Listen, Lady Gaga that day, she's like the U.S. military. Of entertainment. She does more shows before 8 a.m. than anybody does mm-hmm. anything all year long. I mean, she's a busy girl.
Christian Diaz writes, Chaz Boner and his toy? Question mark? I don't know.
So Chaz Boner, I guess that's Chastity Bono.
Okay.
Is dating somebody new. We just don't know who that is.
Okay. And Heath Bruce writes, do you two eat the poo-poo? Which is a reference to something that you can see on feastoffun.com. It's about one of those Nigerian ministers who talks about gays, they eat the poo-poo.
I don't participate in scat.
Yes, I'm
but
not.
But I have in the past mm-hmm. Been known mm-hmm. once or twice to dart my tongue in a hot man's butt. But the butts were thankfully mm-hmm. always very clean.
And the way I
knew is because I smelled before mm-hmm. I, you know, went there.
I was cracking Curtis up at IML this weekend because the Steamworks booth was right by one of those scat booths. So he goes, oh, it's so gross. You see this guy, he's standing over some other guy's mouth, and the other guy's just laying there waiting with his mouth open. I'm like, yes, it's the weight that kills me.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, you always think instinctively, my God, putting your lips on somebody's butthole mm-hmm. is the worst, most disgusting thing you can imagine to do sexually. But then again, you run across in your life, mm-hmm. there's going to be a gorgeous, beautiful man who wants that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, sometimes you got to please people.
You got to do what it takes. So Kenneth Swanson writes, this past Thursday, seniors at the high school where I teach were waiting to get their diplomas and turn their tassels. The valedictorian gave a speech and cited Lady Gaga as a huge influence on his life because she dared to be different, because she let her freak flag fly.
It's freak flag fly freely.
Yes. It was all I could do not to stand up and cheer and scream from the faculty section. I did applaud, though, and maybe loudly. It was the first honest and unpretentious valedictory address I've heard in 15 years.
I'm sure Kenneth was going like this. All the other teachers are like, bravo, what a wonderful enjoy. He was like, oh my God, Lady Gaga! Oh, I'm sorry. And he's Kenneth, actually, mm-hmm. ironically, is the speech and drama teacher.
Oh, he is? Oh.
I'm just kidding. I don't know what he does.
And then David St. Michael goes on to praise Lady Gaga more and say that she's made me feel wonderful, just like Elton John and David Bowie. And then Joshua...
Yeah, you're saying that because she quoted them in the interview with Larry King that you just watched, David.
Listen.
It's true. She did say... He's just,
yes, but that's also... But it's also she said these things before.
Let's who of
many
all
times.
Entertainers of the last 40 years, who has really had a profound change on the way we think about men and women and gays and culture? Who has... As you know, because every... I mean,
that's a big question.
That's a big question. I want to hear from you, the listeners, who in the last... Let's say, since Stonewall, who has had the most profound change mm-hmm. on all our lives in their music and mm-hmm. what they do in their movies, their entertainment, their painting, whatever? Who is the artist that has had the biggest impact on our lives? Weigh in on our site, feastoffun.com, and see mm-hmm. if you guys agree. And then, you know, one thing that you can do now is that you can, if someone posts something and you want to rank it, you can put a little, you can click on that little star.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can give it the, it's kind of like giving it the thumbs up. And so we want to know, it's like, who do you think has had the most profound impact? Is it David Bowie? Is it Lady Gaga? Is it Lionel Richie?
Mm-hmm.
Is it
me you're looking for?
Is it Crystal Connors?
Mm.
Paula Abdul? Suzanne Summers? Who has had the most impact? Notice I'm skipping somebody's name.
Mm.
But it begins with the letter M. Is my vote.
Oh. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah.
It's kind of long, but I'll read it. How about roommates from hell? I've got a horrible one. He lives with me and my partner and is the most immature, inconsiderate, upper 20-something-year-old I've experienced. Slams doors, needs to be told when to clean, how to clean, paying rent late because he overspent during IML and repairing a car without insurance, valid license plates, that he crashed this winter, that he allowed us to drive his car prior to being crashed without letting us know his plates were invalid, leaves lights on, uses our stuff, etc., etc. And the list just goes on and on and on about the atrocities. It's going to be over.
And why have you not killed your husband and the roommate,
so
Joshua?
Luckily, the pain will all be over August 1st. You guys have any roommates from hell stories?
Well, first of all, you know, once this guy moves out, first of all, get him out, you know, and get him out peacefully.
Yes.
It means no things should break. We just had a friend who had a roommate from hell, a house guest from hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like a hooker, a drug addict, and all sorts of awful things. And it was like, man, I was like, I felt sorry for this person, you know, who had to deal with
this. Oh, yeah, and I feel sorry for this person that wrote in.
You
know? It's like, what do you do?
What do you do when, the thing you do is you speak, first of all, Joshua, speak to your partner and say, listen, this is really weighing on me. It's like, how soon can this guy get out of here?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong. Look, maybe your partner and this guy have a life
bond.
Debt. You know, like they like on Star Trek, when you save a Klingon's life, he owes you for the rest of his life. Or like in Prince of Persia, the black guy with the knives that he could kill somebody, decapitate somebody from 5 feet away. Maybe he has a life debt to this guy, and you don't even know about it. And if you try to get in the way,
and also, you know, give this guy a little bit of room, too. It's hard to live with a couple. I would imagine it's got to be very hard.
Yeah.
And so he's a single person. He's your boyfriend's best friend. You guys are going to have resentment towards each other unless you're able to work those things out. It's hard as a couple to live with somebody else. So, you know, just be nice and get him out. And hopefully he won't take you for too much money before it's all over.
Because a common enemy unites people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people come together because they have a common enemy. I've observed this in Mark and I and in other couples is that they pick a fight or they try to examine more closely somebody's flaws because it helps them unite together and overlook
helps
the problems.
Bond.
Helps them bond, you know, and that's how we bond as human beings, sadly. You know? And
the thing is, though, too, is
one
like,
way we do.
Did this guy move in with the boyfriend and the best friend that were living together? You know?
And of course, you know, he's also into fetish, so we don't even know if these guys are actually having sex with each other.
Oh, that's true.
Because, you know, he's into fetish, he's 20 years old, he's probably really cute. I actually went to Joshua's page, to find photos of the person, and I couldn't find out, but... Joshua, email us a photo of the guy, and I'll tell you if he's sleeping with
Joshua's
your man.
Joshua's friends with Lucy Fousey.
Who's that? Oh, Miss Fousey.
Mm-hmm.
Who can't have the name Miss.
No.
So that's like a trivia question for Chicagoans.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the drag queen of Boys Town? Her first name is Lucy. And, you know, so, yeah, I guess the thing about it is, it's just, you know, be glad that you're not Gary Coleman.
Be glad you're anybody that's not dead.
You know, that's not dead, that you still have the ability. You know, there's so many ways that the world separates us and pushes us apart that really the best thing you can do is bring people closer together by expressing your feelings and listening to what other people have to say and trying to communicate as best as you can. You know, that means not ignoring your boyfriend by watching television when you really should be talking to each other.
Whatever.
In other words, do everything Sex and the City 2 says to do when it comes to relationships. Mm-hmm. Buy that bitch that black diamond and shut her up. And with that, we're going to leave you here with Shayna Firm, because it's so good. Mm. Thanks for sticking it in me.
Oh, how delightful.
From her album Blonde, Shayna Firm and the Upper Deckers. It's available on our website, feastoffun.com. You might also recognize it because Pandora Box likes to lip sync it when she's going on tour. Probably more than just on stage, if you know what I'm saying.
If you know. Hey, I want to remind people, too, we can't do the show without your support. So please visit feastoffun.com/iPhone and make a contribution to our website development costs.
Because every little bit counts. If you want to know where to donate, just click on the share button and the little donate button. Ooh, green button appears there magically. I wonder, can you discover it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where it is? Is it over here? Is it over there? Discover it! Feastoffun.com. Share the fabulousness. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
You put your hand on it, even though I hadn't planned on it. You stuck it in me, you stuck it in me. You stuck it in me, you stuck it in me. You stuck it in me, you stuck it in me. You stuck it in me like an orange cream pie. I don't even like Chinese food, but I didn't wanna be rude. And my fortune cookie said, let him stick it in you. Thanks for sticking it in me. I had a really great time. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, we should do it again. Thanks for sticking it in me. I had a really great time. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, we should do it again. Thanks for sticking it in me. I had a really great time. Thanks for singing it inside of.